Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Though I read the Gospel from Tyndale, intentionally reading the First English Bible, I now read the salutation and invitatory versicle from the Revised Standard Version. And this is a very precise translation of the Greek. We picture Jesus being held aloft in the temple before the gaze of God, offering all things that are holy, we read in Tyndale. And we hear those songs of jubilation, Gloria in Excelsis Deo. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. But wait, this last line we read in this morning's lesson is actually peace among men with whom he is pleased. Now this is a very different meaning from the words we learned as children in our Christmas carols. In the familiar version, a general amnesty is announced to all people. You recall that Tyndale's translation was, and to all men rejoicing. There's a party breaking out and all humanity is invited. A proclamation of divine favor from on high falls on all humankind. God's Son is born. All shall receive favor. But these cherished words, which we learned as children, are not correct. The problem seems to have begun with St. Jerome's 4th century translation, you know the Vulgate, we grew up with it. Gloria in Altissimus Deo, et in terra pax, in hominibus boni, voluntatis, and to all men. Goodwill. From there, it will be picked up by many translators, including Tyndale. And then the authorized version, from which it came down to us in Christmas carols and songs, in countless Christmas cards, and enshrined in Messiahs, in the Messiah of Handel. The Greek phrase in question, Anthropois Eudokias, in the man, in the men in whom he delights, is the crux of today's reflection. In order to derive goodwill towards men from the original Greek gospel Eudokias, this word would have to have been a nominative, but it's not. It's a genitive. In the men with whom he is pleased. Make no mistake about it. God's peace in this instance is upon those who get it, who believe that Jesus is the Christ, who see the gift. But let's turn back to the temple, where the Lord is still being held aloft. The holy name is being announced to the world. Behold, the Christ, the Holy One, the one who is coming into the world. Jesus, the name that shall be above every name. Does every knee instantly bow? As St. Paul proclaims in his soaring exhortation this morning in the letter to the Philippians? Well, no, not exactly. Only two humans, one man and one woman, understand what is happening. You recall Tyndale's translation. Jesus' parents were amazed. Their minds were stunned. The essence of the presentation in the temple can be distilled down to one word, discernment. As with most exercises in discernment, not all people get it. The prophet Simeon sees the glory of the people Israel, for the Holy Spirit is upon him. And he responds at the sight of Jesus by launching into one of St. Luke's best-known arias, the Nunc Dimittis, for the mood here is definitely operatic, we moderns would say. Of course, opera would be invented a long time after this. In addition, the prophetess Anna sees the Christ, for her soul has become exquisitely sensitive following decades of fasting and praying and never departing from the temple. She's an exquisitely wrought tuning fork who vibrates in the presence of the Christ. By contrast, Jesus' guardians, the ever-steady Joseph, does not understand Simeon's words, nor does Mary, who holds more puzzle pieces concerning the mystery of Jesus than anyone. Luke says this in his translation, but then underlines it emphatically by following this narrative immediately with Jesus being found in the temple debating the great theological doctors. Quote, "And they, Mary and Joseph, did not understand the saying which he spoke to them." As you know, for centuries, the heresy of Arianism dominated the church. The majority were Arians for a very long time, including the most powerful prelates and secular leaders. The heresy of our time is universalism, the doctrine that all people go to heaven. A version of universalism is a doctrine known as eternal security, that once you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you go to heaven no matter how reprobate your soul is and no matter how cruel you are in your daily living. But these are weighty subjects that are bound to veer into election, predestination, and other controverted topics. Suffice it to say today that universalism is a heresy, in that it led Vatican II translators of the Roman Canon of the Mass to translate a Greek word that plainly says many, pro multis, to the English word all. That we read in the Mass that Jesus' blood was poured out for many for the remission of sins. But the Roman translators decided they liked all better. No question, God desires the salvation of all people. Equally doubtless, God invites everyone to heaven. Nonetheless, a response is required on our side. We cannot simply say that we love God, however truly we feel it, for a few moments with tears streaming down our face, and decide that the question of our salvation has been settled. That is not the end. That is the beginning of the spiritual journey. God's desire is that we seek him, that we discern him, that we be watchers for him both night and day. God, minute by minute, month by month, and for the rest of our lives, God. Pope Benedict XVI, being in the middle of this great controversy over the canon of the Mass, addresses the subject with admirable balance and concision. He writes, "There can be no question of misrepresentation here." It does say pro multis. Whichever of the formulations is allowed to stand, the Missal hadn't been revised yet, that Jesus died for all, or that he died for many, we must in any case listen to the whole of the gospel message, that the Lord truly loves everyone, that he died for everyone, And the other aspect that we must never forget, that he does not, by some magic trick, set aside our freedom, but allows us to choose to enter into his great mercy. There's a very great difference in two different sayings of the prayer of Fatima, I will add. I hear many people praying, and bring all souls to heaven. Just sweep them up in your arms and bring them into heaven. Or, lead all souls to heaven. Lead all souls to heaven. In fact, God sets us on a lifelong journey with all of our freedom intact. We are free to discern him, to realize that he is God, and enter into a relationship of mutual love with him that has everything to do with our sincere interest and constant caring and steady love. We are to read his holy scriptures as being weighty love letters to us, poring over its pages, asking what each sentence and word might mean. We are the most important factor concerning our entrance into heaven, in no way diminishing God's grace. His grace is all important, but our response is not less important. There is no magic trick or magic word that sweeps everyone into heaven. Discernment and careful reflection go to the core of spiritual life. Now, I am not suggesting that all theologians go to heaven. In fact, the state of 20th and 21st century theology suggests an important principle. The mind, however excellent, will not of itself lead you to God. Let us draw the curtains of charity on the rest of that reflection. Our journey to heaven has more to do with our hearts than our heads. And Mary pondered all these sayings in her heart. Mary does not grasp intellectually that Jesus is the Christ. This is for a deep matter for learned doctors in the temple, reading all of the scriptures and all of the commentaries to debate. She does not grasp this. She knows that something very big and certainly divine is constantly happening. But she cannot grasp Simeon's meaning. And it is on account of Mary that we learn another very important principle. Because God's blessing falls on only two people, Simeon and Anna, does not signify that everyone else here is disfavored. What? Mary disfavored? I don't think so. That is, God's blessing on one person does not equate to a curse on another person who does not receive that blessing. No, Joseph and Mary are on a different journey from Simeon and Anna. Their blessing will be different. Sisters, blessing is falling all around us today. And there is particular blessing, peace unto the earth itself, on account of those in whom God takes special delight. And why shouldn't Father God delight in those who have received the gift of his Son with such rejoicing? Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and to be the glory of thy people Israel. A gift has been given before the face of all people. Three kings bend the knee before his holy name. Prophets cry out in jubilation. Angels announce glory to heaven's heights. peace on earth, for the light of the world is born among us. Happy are they who behold this marvelous light. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.